Dr. Matt Hillman, I know you think about these things all the time. That song, you know, some duets are just, you know, it's someone wrote a song and then they get someone famous to sing it with them. Right? That song is a true collaboration. It's a true melding of the Tom Petty and the Heartbreaker sound and Stevie Nicks sound.
You anticipate, you know, things so well. Just last weekend I was watching some Tom Petty videos.
And, very nice.
I think one of the best collaborations that Tom Petty is part of is the Traveling Wilburys. What a great, I mean, I think there should be some Traveling Wilburys on the show today.
We need to, you know, there's no Traveling Wilburys in the system, and that's one of the things that I need to change. Actually.
Well, don't you own this radio station now? Can't you do something about that?
You know what I don't own? Time.
Okay. I understand that dilemma.
This is a rabbit hole I could go down and, like, it would waste your entire segment. So let's just talk about you, Dr. Hillman.
We're not going to talk about me. We're going to talk about the school system. But I'm doing great today. Another crisp day here in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. So happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. And this is, you know, we somewhat joke that Northfield is a special place, but I really truly believe that this is a wonderful place that I'm truly grateful for our friends and neighbors and you know, people who just want to see our community thrive and do good by our neighbors. And so thanks, Northfield, for supporting our school district and
indeed
all of our students. And we're just so grateful to be in this place at this time doing this work with all of you.
Right. And I would echo every one of those comments. And happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, Matt. There was a school board meeting last night.
Yes.
Before we get there, you've got an e-learning rehearsal tomorrow.
We do. So tomorrow we're going to do an e-learning rehearsal day. And as you, many people listening know, we've been using e-learning days since 2019. Typically, e-learning days are designed to serve as a temporary bridge between winter events.
Right.
So using these for when we have, you know, snow and ice and all those kinds of things that we hope don't happen this winter, like they didn't happen last winter.
Yeah.
But over the years, you know, we have the first day that we cancel for weather is a true Minnesota snow day. There's no, you know, nobody works, you know, there's no assignments, etc. Then beginning with the second and subsequent full day closures, we shift to an e-learning day, again, to keep the momentum of instruction going. Our hypothesis is it's better to have that kind of momentum continue with working at home, like so many people are these days on those kinds of events, rather than rescheduling days after the typical end of the school year in June. We've also noticed the last few times, now we didn't have any e-learning days last year, but the first e-learning day of the year, there's a little bit of a scramble in houses and at about 5:30 a.m. when we make that call.
Yep.
So last year when we adopted the calendar, we decided to have an online learning day on Wednesday, November 27th. So tomorrow we're going to run it just like an e-learning day. So the directions have been sent to families for a couple of months now.
Okay.
And buildings have been sending out additional instructions. So what that means is at the secondary level, all of our middle school and high school students check in with a class period at 9 a.m. And so they do that initial check-in. That's the attendance. They get the grounding for the day. And then their class periods, while they're not Zooming into their classes, they have activities that they're working on at home, assignments that they're working on at home, and their teachers are available during what would be their class time. It's an abbreviated schedule for them to be able to check in. They can Zoom. They can Schoology message. They can connect with them in a variety of different ways, including on the phone. Elementary students have a matrix of activities that they select one activity from several different categories. And so this is a rehearsal. And, you know, with our calendar, we try different things from time to time. You know, when we just go with a straight regular calendar, people say, well, we should think about changing some things up. And when we do change a few things up, we never really get the chance to see how it works out before we have to adopt the next calendar. So this is something we're trying. We will take a look at the engagement tomorrow from everyone, and we'll determine whether or not this is something we want to do in the future. But we do, in our commitment to continuous improvement, we really want to try to do different things. And, you know, especially for our middle school and high school students, we know that more and more companies have some kind of work from home component.
Yes.
So, you know, there's some people who are working from home all the time, but there's a lot of people who have that ability to work from home irregularly, and so that's a skill that we think is important for kids to come out of school with.
That's actually I mean, I really am interesting.
I never thought about that, but translating it as a life skill, because I think it is only going to become more prevalent in our society as time goes on.
Ryan, you work from home for your A job, and, mm-hmm. and it probably is an adjustment.
It's an adjustment, and it is a skill set.
Yeah.
Because you do still have to structure your day if yep. you're going to do it effectively. I know people always like to joke, you know, you roll out of bed 1 minute before and log on.
Right.
But I mean, you have to have a dedicated space for it. You
yep.
have to, you treat it as if you're going into an office, even though you're not.
And I would imagine that the school district sort of encourages families to do something similar, right? Like have an area set up.
Everyone has to figure out. I think one of the mm-hmm. things that I've learned from people who I know who work, there's people who do things very differently, just like when you're in an office, people approach work very differently.
Mm-hmm.
People have to figure out what works for them. And so in this case, you know, we typically use this strategy for weather. We're trying to give people a little bit of practice. So, and mm-hmm. again, I'm likening this to the winter emergency kit that I carry in the back of my car, that
right.
if I have it, I won't need it.
Right.
So
right.
what we're really hoping is if we practice it, we won't need it again this school year,
yeah.
and we'll have another, you know, winter like last year. Maybe it can snow, you know, after 11 o'clock on Friday night through about 1 p.m. on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the time, it shouldn't snow, because then I can get another full winters of sleep.
Okay. I'm pretty sure a member of the Northfield School Board just did a drive-by to make sure that we're all doing what we're supposed to do. Okay. So there was a school board meeting last night. And I have a note here that says employees, and that's all I've got. So
there you go. Yeah. So we did a little presentation last night on employee engagement. We all know, anybody who's listening who is in a workplace knows that how people engage in their work is really important to the outcomes that any organization has. Rich, you run a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
You rely on the people here being dedicated and engaged to what you're trying to accomplish,
Absolutely.
Your mission and vision.
Yes.
So we're a workplace as well. I firmly believe that education is a vocation. It's a job that has a higher purpose. But so we're still a workplace, right? And not every day is perfect for us. Sometimes, you know, people who work at the school are, most of the time, people are pretty satisfied, right? But
yeah.
there's times where people are disappointed or sometimes
sure.
even angry. That's normal, you know, human emotion in the workplace. And so, as the employer, we have a responsibility to try to make sure that we are providing the conditions where people know clarity about what we're trying to accomplish. They have the tools, they have the support that they need to be able to accomplish the objectives. In our case, it's doing good things for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so we presented last night a variety of different tools that we use, both to try to make sure that we're having employees be engaged and how we measure that. So we talked about some things like our district services survey. We talked about our annual employee experience survey. We talked about how we use a tactic called leader rounding to individually meet with as many employees as would like to talk about their experience. So we just completed a rounding window in early November, and our school leaders rounded or met for a short period of time with 296 employees.
Wow.
And that's about a 15-minute, you know, meeting each. We ask what's going well for you. Are there things that you could see that we could improve?
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of improvements we can point to that came from leader rounding. We ask them, do they have all the support and the tools that they need to do their job well? And then we ask them to recognize another person on their team for doing something positive for them.
Oh.
And it's not just foofy stuff, right? It's we believe that what gets recognized gets repeated. And so specific feedback about something that you did really well. So, for example, if I were rounding with Ryan and I were to ask Ryan, who's one person that you would like to recognize? And I'm going to put words in Ryan's mouth because I've got the microphone right now. You might say, no, Rich, I really appreciate Logan Walsh. You know, Logan is organized. He makes sure he has the news ready to go for us every morning.
Mm-hmm.
We know at that 640 segment that if we really need a little mm-hmm. bit of a booster or an interesting piece to carry that segment, we know that Logan can do that. And then what you would do then, Rich, as the leader, is you'd go to Logan and say, hey, Logan, I want to tell you, I was rounding with Ryan, and Ryan is so grateful for you. He's grateful for you because you're organized, because all those things. And what research tells us about gratitude, and this is a really good week to talk about this, mm-hmm. is that in that situation, gratitude is good for everybody, right? It's good for Logan because he heard some specific things, not just, hey, you're doing a great job, but he heard some specific things that he's doing that makes a difference for the people around him. It's good for you, Rich, as the leader, because you understand that other people are picking out the good things that other members of your staff are doing. But you know who it's best for? It's best for Ryan.
Yeah.
Because what physicians tell us is that the person who is sharing the gratitude, who's saying that expression of gratitude, actually gets the most emotional benefit out of that, because you're forced to think about someone other than yourself who is doing something good for you. It's this very interesting psychological phenomenon. You can read about it on the Mayo Clinic. It's really an interesting piece about this, the emotional lift that you get by thanking other people. And so that's what that part of leader rounding is. We also include those shout-out questions in our employee experience survey and in our parent satisfaction survey. And it's really heartwarming to read the difference that people make. And we share every one of those shout-outs with people. So our staff get those in writing typically, and it's very meaningful. So employee engagement is so important. In the education labor market, people right now could choose wherever they want to work.
Pretty much.
And so, you know, pay and benefits are important, right? There's no, but what we know is even as important, if not more important, is where I work, the people I work with, do I feel I'm making a difference? And do I have that opportunity to really be my best self at work?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've all had those bosses who are really supportive and then the ones that are not. And the difference is huge, you know, and no, I'm just kidding.
but you're right. And when I think when people hear supportive, they think they just give me everything I want or they let me do everything.
And that's
that is not true, is
right?
it, Ryan?
No, it's not. It is more so about setting clear expectations and making sure that you know where you stand. Because I know that with like the really good bosses I've had, I know where the lines are, you know, and I know where the boundaries are, but yet I still feel like, hey, I can come to you with things and you may say, yeah, we can totally do that. Or we may say, probably going to have to pump the brakes on that for now, but thank you for bringing it to my attention.
You bet. And I think at the end of the day, and we'll kind of wrap this part up because we had a few other things to get to. Yep. In our organization, and I think in all organizations, something that I've shared is that, you know, leadership, the people who are responsible for leadership in any organization, they are accountable for the workplace culture.
Yes.
Everyone who goes to work at a location, you know, whether it be in person or digital, is responsible for that culture. So while leadership is accountable, we all have a piece in that. And what we're trying to do in our organization at the school district is trying to everybody, as many people every day, to bring their best self to be responsible for a positive school culture that lifts others up so we can prepare every student for lifelong success by developing critical thinkers who are curious and ready to engage in their society.
All right. And one of the ways you're going to do that is by completely renovating the Northfield High School. And you talked about that last night at the school board.
Right. We started to kick off the reimagined Northfield High School construction updates. So we've moved from talking about a referendum to talking about construction updates.
Nice.
And there's multi-layers of the planning that's going to go on. The things that I want the community to know is that we are now taking applications for the core planning team. The core planning team is going to be up to about 45 people, but it's very intentionally distributing different stakeholders, making sure that teachers from each department have a voice, you know, on that core planning team, that parents of middle school and high school, a few each, you know, a couple of high school parents, a couple of middle school parents, you know, one at-large community member, representatives from the city of Northfield, the Northfield Police Department, all of those administration, you know, all of those kinds of folks are involved. So up to about 45 people. We're taking applications for that because we believe there will probably be more people interested than slots available. You can see that on our website, northfieldschools.org. And then if you just take a look right there on the front page, you'll see a story lower left about that. I know Logan's going to link it in his news story today as well. I encourage you to look at what the commitment is. It's 9 events that you have to commit to. You can't say, oh, I'm going somewhere in March. I can't be at those. That's not how this works. We need you to be at every. If somebody gets sick, that's a different story, right?
Sure.
But we need people to commit to all of that. The first event is going to be on December 17th, and that's going to be both a core planning team. To be on the core planning team, you need to apply through December 8th. We'll let people know on December 9th or 10th if they've been selected to participate in that. But we want the whole community to give input. So on December 17th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Northfield High School, we are going to have a community input event. Our architect from Wold Architects and Engineers and representatives from Knutson Construction School Administration are going to be there. And we're going to run some exercises to have people help us know what their hopes and dreams for this building are. So during the bond referendum campaign, we had a handful of people who would say, well, I need to know what it's going to look like, or I need it to have this. And we would say, well, we haven't designed the building yet, so why don't you come help us? This is part of the building design. So we want as many people who have an interest to be able to come, even if you don't have an interest, come and tell us what your hopes and dreams are for what this high school facility will look like, will feel like, will sound like, will be like for students in the community. So that's December 17th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. So that core planning team, that's about a 6 or 7 month process. Mm-hmm. We're going to go and visit some other sites. We're going to talk about, this is big picture. This is not where do the light switches go. This is how do we cluster classrooms, right? Mm-hmm. What on the site, how does this all work out in practicality? Just the kind of the big picture items to get enough substance and enough vision where the architects can then take that and can draw the actual technical plan. So apply to be a core planning team at Emerite. There's two parts to the core planning team. One is the standard core planning team. And then if you're interested in activities or athletics, we have a specific subgroup for athletics and activities that's going to meet only 4 times. So you can apply for either one of those. And so, again, we have the stakeholders that we're looking for listed on the website, and then we'll take a look at all the people who apply and go from there.
Okay. Real quick, Logan was talking about how you plan to, now that you've got the authorization for the bonds, how you plan to do the bonding in there. I guess evidently you're going to stagger it a little bit.
Right. So very common practice in this kind of longer project. I mean, we're expecting we're expecting completion. Different parts of the project will be completed along the way, but the full completion is slated probably for 2029, just like we said during the campaign. And so we're going to look to sell our first we need to get about $40 million to get the process started.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bond for around $39 million. And our financial partners at Ehlers Incorporated, they're a leader in public service financial advising. They're targeting that kind of end of that kind of late January, February timeframe, depending on the markets, to sell that first $39 million worth of bonding. We need $40 million, but we're going to get our first $1 million gift from Carleton College.
Yes.
Thank you, Carleton College. Around that same time. So we will reduce, like we told the voters, we're reducing the amount that we bond for. So we typically would have bonded for $40 million. We're going to bond for $39 million, but we're going to have $40 million worth of capital because Carleton will make its first $1 million gift to us at that time. We will likely then sell the remainder of the bonds in 2027, right when the bulk of the construction is getting going.
Okay.
So that can change. This is what the current plan is.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had really great success with our partners at Ehlers. Had a great bid day for the bonding when we did in 2018 for the 2018 projects.
Yeah.
And you know, we ended up, that was such a good bonding day that we ended up being able to do a lot of those projects for less than what we had told voters, both the bidding and for the bonds, and then, of course, for the construction costs later. But all of it works together.
Cool. All right. You are not required to pass a budget. You won't pass a budget until next spring, but you are starting the budgeting process right now.
Yes. So this is the time of year where our school district's budget starts to kick off for next year. So that will begin. People in the community got their tax statements recently.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to point out, I've talked to many people that this is, I want to be very clear, the bond referendum is, the tax increase for the bond referendum is not on there quite yet. Okay, so that it was just approved. The auditors just can't turn that around. You know, counties just can't turn that around that fast. But if you take a look at your school taxes, I've heard from at least a half a dozen people that even though their home increased in value, for some people pretty substantially, their school taxes before the bond referendum approval stayed the same or went down a little bit. And I think this goes to that thing that we've talked about just the stewardship and the long-range plan that the district has to try to keep our levy increases, you know, within that very minimal range. And so I think that's you know, before the bond referendum, we just want to point that out. We'll have our audit at the next meeting. We're required to adopt an audit by the end of December. The audit is really the kickoff for the next year's budget cycle. So what happens at that next meeting, December 9th, we'll have our truth and taxation meeting. We'll hear the audit results. We will hear an amended budget. So this is mid-year. We're required as part of that truth and taxation meeting to talk about the budget. So Director of Finance Val Murdersdorf will discuss the budget. She will propose an amended budget, which is very typical for this time of year. That's going to show we now have a lot of knowns.
Mm-hmm.
When we didn't have knowns back when we adopted the budget in June, we know how many students we have. We know, was there any additional staffing that we needed to serve those students? We're going to be able to take a look at how much our fund balance ended up at the end of last year. And as you know, we've been responsible and made the tough decisions early on, right before A lot of other organizations may have made those tough decisions. So we'll take a look at those numbers, then we'll start looking to next year and the legislature. And we know that next year's legislature is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Because we have a tie. It looks like the recounts are saying it's going to be a tie in the House of Representatives.
Yep.
I know that there's a power-sharing plan. We don't really have a lot of experience with this other than 1979. But there are some real needs that the school district still has. How long have we been saying declining enrollment, right? Yep. And we have declining enrollment. And when your funding is tied to the number of students that you have, that is going to be an annual discussion of our budget and how do we make sure that we are maintaining an alignment between our expenditures and the revenue that we have so that we can sustain programming for as long as possible. So we'll be advocating the legislature specifically for reducing the special education cross subsidy. That means the amount of general fund dollars that we pay for legally required and, as I've always said, morally imperative services for students with disabilities that is not reimbursed by the state or federal governments. This is a real problem for lots of school districts, and it is a bipartisan, agreed-upon target. So when we have a 67-67 House, one vote majority in the Senate, you are going to be tired of hearing me talk about special education cross-subsidy because this needs to get fixed, and it's something that gives real dollars back to school districts. But we'll start our budgeting process and discussion, and every year from now on, for the foreseeable future, we'll be talking about how we balance how much revenue we're anticipating with the expenditures that we have to try to be able to provide the best education that we are able to for students here in Northfield while also doing that in a fiscally responsible way. So more to come, but okay. The budget season will be kicking off.
All right. Before I let you go, I just want to real quick mention that yesterday was the second installment of Doing Good Things for Kids, the show that you are hosting monthly on KYMN. And you had a nice chat with Aaron Bailey yesterday, and it was fun to listen to.
Yeah, I encourage people to check it out. Give us any feedback. Yep. We're just trying to highlight this goes to what gets recognized, gets repeated.
Yep.
And Aaron Bailey is just a world-class leader that we are so fortunate to have, a leader of vision, a leader of compassion, someone who gets stuff done.
Director of Community Education. We are all very lucky to have her around. So, all right. Dr. Hillman, we thank you for your time, as always.
It is my pleasure to be on the show, so thanks. We got to remember what it's called. It's the Rich and Ryan Show with a dash of Logan.
Yeah,
I think
Rich and
we're
Ryan,
get a dash of Tim McNiff next.
Yes, we are. In fact,